I care not for thy whims. Cross my path and I shall destroy thee along with thy world.
No, that one does not sound familiar to me. Where is that from?
This is Sarah Ravencroft, better known as the Witch's Ghost from 1999, Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Okay, so that is a movie that I do not remember at all. In fact, I would need to go back and sort of relive all of those full-length Scooby-Doo movies because, yeah, it's been a while. But tell me, what was specific about this witch that you liked?
So, just being a witch fan in general, but having Scooby-Doo have the monster in this way, the ghost actually be real for once was also exciting. This is when they went real after Zombie Island, which, by the way, if you want to review these, totally up for that. So Sarah Ravencroft was, they say, arguably the most powerful and terrifying witch that Mystery Inc. faced. She has a whole bunch of powers, and the woman was angry. So, strong witch, angry lady.
Let me know, in the title, it says Witch's Ghosts. Is that in the possessive, apostrophe S, or does it just say Witch's Ghosts?
Yes, which is apostrophe.
Okay, so witch is ghost. So that means she is a witch and she has ghosts. Or is she a ghost herself and she's also a witch?
She's a ghost and, yes, a ghost of a witch.
There is this old school South Park gag on one of the Halloween specials. It was the one where Korn had guest starred, and they had this running gag of these ghosts that happened to be pirates, and they didn't know to call them pirate ghosts or ghost pirates. And technically, while both make sense, there actually is a right way to do it. You just have to figure out the context of the ghost. Is that, was she a witch before she became a ghost, or did she become a witch after she died and became a ghost?
So, ooh, I like that.
I just think it's funny. It just made me think of that joke. All right, well, we are in Brunch Hollowells Season 6. We're on Episode 6. We're doing My Three Witches. Should we get started?
Yes, there's a lot to talk about in this episode.
There sure is. All right, so we actually start the episode with Phoebe. She is guest starring on a talk show, Chit Chat This and That. She speaks with the author of the book, The 5-Minute Orgasm. Meanwhile, back at the manor, a demon is trying to draw Piper into a vortex. She tries to blow him up, but hits a vase instead. Piper calls for Chris and asks for her sisters, and Chris orbs away to the set of Phoebe's interview. He tries to get Phoebe's attention, but fails and orbs away. Piper, fighting off the demon alone, blows up the chandelier, which falls on the demon. She attempts to chase him. However, the demon opens another vortex to try and suck Piper in, but Piper clings onto a banister. Chris orbs to an old folks' home, where Paige is participating in a magic trick. And Chris orbs away, realizing that Paige also cannot help. So, with this particular scene, I just want to highlight some of the stars that we came across in these couple of scenes. One of them is our Demon of the Week. We don't learn his name yet, but the demon is named Gith. So Gith is played by Desmond Askew. And I mostly know him for his role in Go, where in the movie he actually was able to hold on to his orgasm with a tantric move that was taught to him before sleeping with a prostitute. But also he had a big part in the Roswell series from the WB. Do you happen to remember him from that?
Yes, Roswell. Oh my God. Yes.
All right, and the other person that I wanted to highlight is Catherine Justin. So she is the one that was wife to the magician in the magic trick. And her role that stands out to me is she's known as the lovable neighbor of Karen McCluskey. And this was on Desperate Housewives back in the day.
Yes.
And, you know, the woman is a wonderful character actress. You know, she is a woman who plays lots and lots of people on TV and movies. Never a starring role, but a lot of people are known to just pop up everywhere and just assist with a side character. Well, I look to her all the time because I think about when her career started. She actually started acting in 1984, and given her age, she started becoming an actress and starring in TV and movies when she was 45 years old. That's when she started. And I find that to be so amazing that it also has motivated me to think about trying out acting for the first time. Well, not for the first time, but to kind of really give it a go and actually try and see if there is any kind of role for me in the entertainment industry, because age is absolutely nothing. And again, I look to her, and this woman has starred in so much and started at 45, and I just think that's awesome.
Well, first off, I don't think you have to worry about age and how you look, because Rob looks like he's in his early 30s. And I love that you want to give acting a go. Believe me, I'm going to try to have this man doing some acting prior to his 40s. But I love that, Rob. I love that. I think you got it. You have the charisma.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I just find it fun. You know, I haven't really taken any classes or anything like that, but I just find the artistry and just remembering lines. You know, I did a couple of plays. I always thought that stuff was fun. So I was thinking about giving it a shot. And she's definitely inspiration. Gith, by the way, so we are seeing sort of a power that either hasn't been seen on the show very much or is very new. It's called Vortex Creation. What did you think about this type of power?
Ooh, I thought this was a fantastic power, Rob. Especially seeing how hard of a time Piper was having. Yes, she was holding her own, but like Chris mentioned, Piper could have been killed or sucked into this vortex a few times. I really think this is a great power to have. It's not wind power like Shax had, but it does spin things around and want to suck you into that vortex. So I think this is a really cool power for a demon to have.
His power is pretty cool. It seems a little difficult to always have like maybe a floor surface or something for it to work. Too bad he couldn't do it like in midair so they can get sucked in sideways and not just on the ground. But it can definitely be effective.
I just have to say, Rob, did you notice Piper's arms when she was holding on to the banister? They got the strongest looking slash could pass for Holly Marie, I guess.
She was giving you some Tina Turner?
Ooh, yes. And we know that Holly Marie has more of a softer look to her arms, and definitely not Tina Turner arms, usually. And when she was holding onto that banister, damn, she had some strong, muscular arms. And they even put the tattoo on just to match Holly Marie's, like, I think this is a male stunt double. I could be wrong, Charmies. Let me know if anyone thinks differently, but I
didn't get a chance to see.
Piper slips from the banister, and she's being sucked into the vortex. She manages to hit the demon and make him flee. Cue the credits. The sisters are now home, helping clean up and trying to catch up. Chris is trying to focus the sisters on the demon, but the sisters insist on pursuing their personal lives. Piper explains she has friends coming over to display a fashion line. The sisters are more concerned with their lives instead of listening to Chris's concern. Paige magically cleans up the mess. Mm-hmm. Phoebe and Paige leave, while Piper continues to prepare for her guests. Chris goes to the demon Gith and offers to help him attack the charmed ones. I gotta start by saying, yes, they use the spell again. We just mentioned this, and Here we go, and it's back to Paige, you know, since this is her spell, honestly. And she's doing the Object of Objection spell, but this time, it almost seems like it's orbing things away. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't have a clear answer to this. My only theory is that she was channeling white lighter powers this time. It also could be the type of effect that she wanted to accomplish with the vanishing spell, so you couldn't just glamour that stuff away. It had to be orbed away. So that's the only thing that I can think of, but I'm glad that she was able to say the spell because it's been used by others and it belongs to Paige.
It really does belong to Paige. I mean, I feel like this is what really one of the first spells that she like casted by herself. And she's just like, yep, this is mine now. And while we're speaking of Paige, one of the quotes that she uses, I have used in real life and I have used it really since what was the season? 2003? My God. I've been using Call Me Butter because I'm on a roll. 4 years. I've used it for myself. I've used it at work to prop up people who might be feeling down when I was managing them. Yeah, this quote, and people love it. People love it. So I do kind of like just use it and people just don't know where I came up with it. But Paige, thank you for this quote that I've used in my life. How sad.
That's awesome. We are also given another example from something we touched on last week, is that Paige once again is going through this sort of mood change in how involved in magic she wants to be. While Ryan and I don't necessarily have a problem with this type of storytelling, it's the way that they're doing it. It wasn't just last week or just her whole theme so far in this season that she has been wanting to separate her life from magic and getting these jobs to also separate her from magic. I think now she may be sort of opening up to the idea of like, hey, clearly I'm given a job and I'm going to have to do something magical. But now, all of a sudden, she wants to use magic all the time. Like, that's all she wants to do. If I could just use magic all the time. And it's just like, what happened to being separate from, right, you know, magic? So it's just this kind of back and forth that we don't know where she stands in this. And it's just the way that they keep telling this narrative. So,
yes, it's almost like whoever writer takes over just was given like a general thing for the season that Paige is going to be questioning what her life's purpose is, and they just will like insert it. But yeah, it's not done in a way that is coherent with the storyline that we've had so far. Oh, and I do love that we get Paige in a very girly moment. I love clothes. I love clothes. As she's picking up roses.
So Phoebe and Jason are eating at a restaurant when she is approached by a fan of hers wanting an autograph. Once she leaves, Jason and Phoebe continue to discuss their relationship, and Jason suggests to Phoebe to let go and then kisses her. So Leah orbs to Piper to pick up Wyatt. He notices Wyatt is sick and offers to heal him. Piper refuses, wanting him to be normal, and Leo says that he can't take Wyatt and presents her a Valkyrie pendant, claiming that Chris killed for it. So I just want to jump back to Jason and Phoebe for a second in this restaurant scene. And I am going to have to side with Jason on this one as far as the idea of just letting it go and letting good things happen to her without an alternative motive or just a reasoning as to why she deserves all of this stuff. I've kind of said this a couple of times to people, and also I do need to remind myself of such advice, but there are people out there, whether it's a friend or relationship, family, whatever, that enjoy doing things for others without reciprocation. You know, they enjoy being nice or being able to give something or pay for something or do a certain gesture. That doesn't mean that it has to come with any kind of like alternative motive. And with this, you know, yeah, she's being showered with gifts, and I'm not saying that she doesn't think she deserves them, but at the same time, she's like, you're doing this to try and get on my good graces, so you want me to pick you? And it's like, maybe, but at the same time, as Jason said, maybe I just like doing these things for you. And it's technically a selfish act. You know, Jason is, yes, trying to impress Phoebe, but that's not the only reason. He's doing it because it makes him feel good, not so much the other person. And so I think it's okay to let somebody do these things for you. But for me, you know, I also want to have the opportunity to do that for someone as well, or give it back in some shape or form. When you have that type of mentality, but you don't allow someone to do the same thing, that's where I have a problem. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I'm for Jason on this one. He's being selfish. He wants to do what he wants to do, and that's to pamper her. So let it be.
Yeah, I think because of what Phoebe's gone through, probably with Cole, she's just on edge about everything. But I agree with you, and I could totally feel Jason in this because I love to gift people things. Like, I love to surprise people with things. I love to do that. It does, and it makes me feel good. I would rather be giving somebody something than having something given to myself. But you gotta learn to take it. So if someone wants to do something for you, like in this case, Phoebe, yeah, you know, you might not want it, but let the person do it. Like, she deserves to be spoiled a little. So I just want to add that Piper, I think, is being ridiculous with this whole thing with Chris and the pendant and not listening to Leo. I mean, we've known Leo now for 6 years. She's been married to this man. If he comes forward with an information that the Valkyrie in question was killed for this pendant, yes, we all know in hindsight for the people that know what's up with Chris, but still, at this point, they don't know. So anything they should take, they just know that he comes from the future. So I do believe that Piper and the rest of the sisters, because he's been mentioning this all along, there's something with Chris, and they're all dismissive of him. You know Leo to be a smart, level-headed guy. Listen to him a little.
Yeah, this particular situation is interesting because, you know, Leo does come off as this sort of insecure, like, oh, Chris is taking my spot and something's up with him. And so the sisters are probably just saying that he's projecting all of that into this idea that he's wrong and that he's up to something. And, you know, Chris has already stated, I can't say anything about the future to not change anything, and that all makes sense, but they don't know anything about him. And so I guess because they do know Leo for so long, maybe he is the type of person that would just make up stories in order to just, you know, flesh out all of his, like, worries and insecurities about himself. Who knows?
Leo being Leo again. Here we go, Piper.
Right? Look, we're at season 6, and these fools still can't tell each other apart when they're possessed or being cloned. So, yeah. I mean, it's a lost cause. You might as well just let this go.
You're right, yo. 100% that's true. They can't even tell when they're possessed. So true, so true. Gith discusses with Chris about his intentions. Gith explains his power, draws people into realities, and feeds off their desires. Chris presents him with a slip of paper bearing what he calls the Charmed One's desires. For Piper, a normal life with normal friends and no magic. Gith is able to draw the sisters into an alternative reality without using a vortex. Piper, in her alternate reality, answers the door, and several women enter and then leave to the living room. Piper's friend expresses how she wants to show off her new line of lingerie. As Piper closes the door, three young, hunky male models come in, one wearing a t-shirt and pants, the second wearing black tank top and tight pants, and a third wearing a long-sleeve shirt and jeans. They go to change in Piper's room. So, Rob, this is the most detail I've ever seen these synopses give, and it's all about what these three men, who are literally blinking you miss it walking through the door, wearing. So, damn, it made an impact on this writer.
So, the thing is, with the first guy, that walks in, like, he's a looker. I did notice that. But the other thing is that I've seen him somewhere, and unfortunately, he's not credited in the IMDb page of this episode, so I could not figure out who he was. And if I can't, then I can't put him on Hot Man Meter either. But he looks so familiar.
Yes, yes, yes. It literally hit me just right before we were recording this because he did look so familiar, and it came to me like without any question because I was like, who is this man? Yeah, like I looked on IMDb, Rob, it is, this gentleman is named John Fleming, and he was on a show that some of the Charmies might have heard of called Dante's Cove.
Was he really on Dante's Cove?
Oh, ho, ho, yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that was him. Oh, I think I know who that is. Oh my god, Dante's Cove.
And I want to say he replaced an original actor from the first season, and he was playing the same character, I believe, as the character from the first season, but he had more personality and he was better looking as well.
I cannot believe you remembered something like that. That is insane. Oh my god, John Fleming is his name? Oh my god, okay. I am adding him to Hot Man Meter now. This is, wow, I would not have got that. Good memory, Ryan.
Spoiler alert, I think someone might be going on a Hot Man Meter.
The woman who popped up, so she is the one who actually has the lingerie and had these three men come in, and she is familiar to me from a little movie called Showgirls. She also was a seamstress. And bestie to Nomi in the movie, so what a small world.
I swear that must have been a tongue-in-cheek thing. They're like, okay, we need this woman to be a seamstress / fashion person. Oh, she came for the interview? Yes, she was in Showgirls as the same character. Put her in. But how many women, Rob, did she invite over Piper's house? Now, Piper mentions that, yes, she did say she was going to bring some friends, but my god, this is like, is this alternative reality gifts magic, or is this the actual amount of women that this friend was bringing to show off her lingerie?
So, you know, with parties like these, if you decide to host like a Tupperware party or a lingerie party, yes, you're going to have friends come over and maybe her friends are the ones hosting it. But as far as the customers, she may not know all of them personally. So I think some of her clientele have added on to the guest list. So I don't think she knows all of them. I would say that this is real.
Yes. Okay. Okay. And Piper was definitely not. See, I never understand why Piper does these things at the manor. Not for anything. I mean, I know set-wise, you know, they're using the set and location they have. But at any moment, a demon could have come in and attacked them at the manor in front of all of these people. Not even P3. I would have brought them to P3.
You would think that the manor is definitely off limits to any kind of, like, you know, party or get together, especially because she was unable to defeat the demon.
Yes.
Earlier in the episode, she did do the P3 thing for the babysitting club, but other than that, yeah, you would think the house would be off limits, at least for today. But we are introduced to another power from the same demon. This one's called reality warping. And apparently not only can Gith create vortexes, he can also create literal alternate multiverses for anyone based on their desires. What do you think about this specific power?
Again, this demon of the week is showcasing these amazing powers that altogether could be extremely dangerous.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's very specific. I do like it, especially for the context of this episode. There just has to be a demon out there that can not only create realities, but based on desire.
He works for currently Marvel in the multi-universe.
So Paige in her alternate reality is performing a magic trick. When the magician suddenly has a heart attack, Paige urges that somebody call 911, and the elderly woman says there's no time. Paige offers to take him there, only if everyone leaves the room. I love this. She's trying so hard to keep her secret safe, but everybody leaving the room isn't going to help this man get to the hospital
any
sooner. I mean, it's just like Mystery Men when dude was like, I can become invisible, but all of you have to not look at me when I'm doing it. I just think that's so funny. So the audience reveals that they know that she's a witch and that she can orb and urge her to do it. So she orders the man to the hospital. Phoebe is preparing for her talk show, and Jason reminds her to let it go. When her alternate reality activates, she walks out and sees that the talk show is suddenly called Ask Phoebe. Do you happen to like that name for her talk show?
I actually do, because I mean, I know they're doing it as a tie-in to her column, but it's a cute title.
Yeah, I like it too.
And speaking of alternate realities, I think Gith sent Phoebe's set back to 1990 for her talk show with her gigantic columns. No modern talk show would have had that, even in early 2000s, I'm sorry.
I love me a good column. He probably purchased them from ScarJo when she's on Saturday Night Live selling her columns and this one and this and this one.
That's exactly where she got them.
So, you know, aside from Piper, because the fact that she doesn't really have to deal with magic in her reality, it's funny that the other two sisters didn't immediately call shenanigans when this stuff was happening, especially on Paige, that all of a sudden in a split second that everybody knows she's a witch. Now, I know that she was thinking ahead and just being like, you know, this man's health is first priority. Let's get him to the hospital and deal with the shit later. But everybody knows your secret and is okay with it. No, I would have immediately been like, something's wrong. I gotta get Phoebe and Piper and figure out what's going on. I don't know. I just feel they should have figured this out a little sooner.
Unless Paige is on this thing that, oh my god, well, I went to the Richards family and they were all witches. Maybe this is a nursing home full of witches. After the show, Phoebe is greeted by a crowd asking for autographs. Once they get in the limousine that Jason just so happened to have, Phoebe begins to question Jason about all the changes, but is reminded to let it go and relax, and she does. As she and Jason leave in the limousine, a fan holds up a sign reading, "Marry me, Phoebe," and on the other side it says, "Or die." Phoebe notices the sign and becomes concerned. I would too. In the attic, Chris is making a potion when Leo orbs in. Leo confronts Chris about the Valkyrie with the pendant. Chris notes that Leo had also killed a Valkyrie, and Leo threatens to clip Chris's wings. I've been like, please, clip my damn wings. I don't want this responsibility. Leo notices he is making a potion. Chris says it's for the sisters. Leo realizes he cannot sense the sisters, which Chris says he must be go somewhere alone or the sisters will die. So that sign that guy had, Rob, how the hell did he figure that Phoebe was going to see that as they're pulling? I mean, they look like they were down the road before they even saw that sign. She's looking back. It was just like a... I like that they added it, but it was kind of, it really didn't add anything to the plot because it wasn't even the same person later that attacks Jason, so.
Well, it was definitely a little hint that, you know, with these alternate realities, basically it's a platform for them to die. Like, the whole goal is to kill them, and so here's a little hint that it's starting to kind of cross over into the dangerous part of the dream. Those windows probably would have been tinted and, you know, he wouldn't be able. I mean, he just probably just had good timing and assumed that she saw it. And that's all I could say. My note is on the Leo and Chris conversation. And man, Chris, did he win this round? Oh my God. He had everything already planned, ready to go for whatever Leo was throwing at him. And I love the fact that he was like, yeah, didn't you kill some Valkyries too? He was like, oh, it's for the protection of the girls. Don't be coming at me. You killed too. Don't do it. Not today. And I love it. You let this man have the last word, Leo. What is that
sassy.
All about?
Chris is sassy.
I can't believe he won this round. He walked out like, yeah, what? What? Anything else?
Is that where all those Leo and Chris fan fictions comes from? It was this scene right here, this tension.
So at the hospital, the old man lies there recovering with his wife alongside him. Paige asks how she knew she had powers. His wife urges Paige to use her magic with pride, that there's no shame in being a witch. You mean with the magic? Just loud as hell for everyone to hear. She is so funny. So back at the manor, it is revealed that the male models were actually strippers who are performing for Piper and her friends. Piper comments on the great design detail, although showing she's completely uncomfortable. Wyatt cries, and Piper goes to check on him by checking his temperature and finds that Wyatt is running a fever. She calls for Leo, but no avail. Piper's desires, I think, always get so wild. Anytime that we are in this woman's head, it involves some hot ass men. I like it. Let her dream all the time, because I am down. I'm totally down. But thank you so much, Piper, for conjuring this model. Okay, so I'm calling it, my favorite is the long-haired one, the one with the leopard briefs. I loved him. He also could dance, because that John Fleming was not doing it. He was not dancing. Those red briefs was not cutting it. I'm sorry. What were those dance moves? What was going on?
Yeah, that was... See, this is my headcanon, that he was actually the model of the group, and he didn't realize everyone else was strippers. And when he got there, he's like, wait, I'm a serious model. So I'm just going to do, like, this white man dance, like, with my hands. But... Did you like that our friend of Piper, basically it would show off the man's package in a certain way?
I don't think I've ever heard lingerie being labeled for men's wear.
Never,
I always thought that was for women's wear. But yeah, I was like, oh, so we're doing, so are these women buying stuff for the males, or are they getting them riled up to buy women's lingerie? I don't know what she's selling, but I'm living for it.
I don't think they know what they're selling, but I've never seen such a group of thirsty women. They acted like these women never seen men before. The synopsis says Piper feels uncomfortable. I think a slightly uncomfortable. The rest of me thinking Piper is enjoying herself. Because like you said, she's got these fantasies.
She can appreciate the male physique, so.
I just want to say that I do love when at the hospital, when she tells Paige, or Karen was her name? Was it Karen?
Karen McCluskey, yeah.
This ain't Salem, honey. There's no shame in being a witch today. And she says it in this voice that Rob does a great impression of her. Spot on, a matter of fact. When you say the magic, it sounds just like her. But she does this so good. Like, you're right. I love her acting and her. It seems like it just comes out like ease with this woman.
I know. I can only imagine if this is literally just her playing herself and reciting lines, you know?
So Phoebe and Jason in the limousine talk more about her career and how she wants to forward it. They arrive at his penthouse. Jason tells Phoebe it's her new home, and they are greeted by another crowd. Phoebe expresses to him how he can't make so many changes in her life. Most are adoring, asking to sign things, something that she claims she's never did. Some are angry, though. One's wife left him and he blames Phoebe's column. Phoebe suspects that what's happening isn't real. She attempts to warn Jason, but he doesn't understand. In the moment, a man draws a gun. The crowd scatters and the man fires. Jason attempts to rescue Phoebe and both fall to the floor. Phoebe then reaches inside his coat to find blood and realizes that Jason has been injured.
So Chris goes to Gith and tries to vanquish him. Chris accuses Gith of trying to kill one of the sisters, and Gith argues it wasn't him. And Chris tries to throw a vanquishing potion at him, but Gith produces a dark lighter crossbow and shoots Chris before he can throw it. So here is another power that this demon has, and now he can perform apportation. What the hell? Where has this demon been this whole time? He has got everything on his side. I am so impressed.
It makes you wonder if Chris knew, because he sounds like he knows this demon in the future, right? So I wonder if he hadn't been vanquished during the current time, how powerful he would have gone on to be with all of these damn powers. My God.
Yeah, yeah. So, Gith explains that he knew Chris's plan from the beginning, and being able to feel his desire, he then steps on the potion, breaking it, and Chris lies on the floor defenseless. So something to also point out is that Gith was actually very, very confused with why Jason took the bullet and not Phoebe, because these desires are meant to kill its charges. So it shouldn't have hit Jason, right? And me not remembering this episode, like I said last week, I actually was very confused up until this point because Phoebe was sharing so many hints that she doesn't want any of this. So how is this all her desire?
Right.
Because she's rejecting every single one without question. And so the storytelling in this, I think, is really good at this point. And yeah, I completely forgot what was going on until we get to our next scene. Piper goes to the Book of Shadows and attempt to cure Wyatt and finds it blank. She calls for Leo and Chris again in vain. Two of her friends walk in. Piper calls for Leo again, and they remind her that she and Leo split up. They then suggest that she take Wyatt to a doctor. One offers to take her, but Piper says she can do it on her own.
So, Rob, is this actually the real Jason in this reality? So, it confuses me because, yes, like you're saying, this isn't Phoebe's, realities or desires, so it's Jason's desires. Did the real Jason come in too, or does it just pull in the desire of the person that she was feeling, and these are these fake portal people?
They definitely talk about it in the next scene, but it's the channeling part. So Phoebe was the target, but because she was channeling Jason's thoughts, it didn't bring Jason in because he wasn't taken out of this reality and put into another. Phoebe was. It's just that Phoebe was captured while thinking about Jason's desires. So that's not the real Jason.
But so we're led to believe, though, that she knows Jason's desires, so Jason would have taken the bullet anyway because it was in her.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the whole thing. Like, he's so shocked that, you know, Jason got shot. But I figured, like, well, if you created these people, but it's Jason's desires projected through the whole desire thing. Okay.
Yeah, everything is playing. So it's just like Jason was technically a puppet, an actor, a manipulator to make sure everything goes smoothly. I mean, there isn't necessarily a script to this, but at the same time, once the reality starts attacking the charge, that is when everything should fall into place. And the fact that this puppet stepped out of line, then it confuses things. Well, it didn't hit the right target. Technically, it did. It hit the desire of the person. And so even though it's not the real Jason, the thoughts and the desires are also going to take out its said target. So
that makes more sense. That makes more sense. So a patient at the hospital has overheard that Paige is a witch. The patient claims she has been attacked by a demon and hid her daughter and wants Paige to help her. Paige is skeptical that it's real and calls for Chris, but nothing. So Paige orbs to an alley, where she vanquishes a demon who has been attempting to kill a man. She then proceeds to go into a house, where she vanquishes another demon. She calls out for the little girl named Susie, and urges her to go with her. Outside, a crowd applauds her, but more demons appear and attack. Paige is able to vanquish them, but more continue to attack. She then takes cover behind a dumpster. Phoebe sits alongside Jason as he slowly dies. She tries to call for Leo, but no avail. She explains to Jason how she thinks they are in a world of desire. However, it's a world of his desire and not hers. So Paige is a total badass. She took on a alley full of nonstop demons. I love her.
She killed it in this one. Yeah, she was very good.
And Rob, so when we go in to find little Susie, the stairs in this location. Now, I know you know what this location and where these stairs come from, right?
Yes, the stairs are very predominant in its appropriate place, and I recognize this set immediately. And this is something that I did not notice in my previous viewings of this episode. This is the first time that I've noticed this, but yes, I definitely recognize it. Tell everyone where they are.
They are right next to the Woogie and the Nexus in the basement, the Hollowell's basement. They love to repurpose this basement, but Charmies, if you see stairs in Charmed, take a look. look around, see if you see the brick wall, because that is always their location for stairs and various hideouts for people.
Yeah, they seem to have taken the location of the basement in the Hollowell Manor and used it for this scene of rescue, and I think that's clever, but yeah, there are definite hints that this is the same exact basement in the house.
It's shot always the same angle, too. Like, we always see how they always have the flight of stairs, like, them coming down it. It's always, like, the same angle, so it's not even hiding it that they're...
So watching over the sisters in this alternate reality, Gith finds out Phoebe's an empath and that she must have been channeling Jason's desires when he created her world. Chris, still wounded, is somehow able to merge Paige and Phoebe's realities together. Gith kicks Chris to stop any further damage. Okay, so even in the synopsis, they have no idea how Chris was able to do this. The only thing that I can think of is the fact that Chris knows telekinesis, so he was able to do that. But what power does this man have for him to be able to merge realities with just the wave of your hand? And if you were able to do that, Mr. Chris Perry, then tell me why you couldn't Grimlock that potion off the ground and put it on Gith to destroy him.
Yes.
You know, just because a bottle is destroyed does not mean the end of the world. We've seen this done twice by two different people. You could have done it too. If you can merge realities, where was this?
Especially if he's got telekinesis.
Right? Mm-hmm. So Phoebe suddenly finds herself in Paige's world and shares her suspicions with her. Paige and Phoebe discuss escaping, but Paige thinks they'll need Piper to do it. As the demons close on the sisters' hiding place, they discover that they're gone. Paige and Phoebe orb into the dumpster they were hiding behind as the demons leave. Piper is also rushed to the hospital, and Piper then assures Wyatt that they're almost there and he'll be fine. Then a truck crashes into her, leaving Wyatt crying. Okay, so that truck hit that car really hard. For that baby to be in there, you know, don't try this at home, but I don't think babies would survive a crash like that. That was insane. But Piper, how many times are you going to be involved in a car-related accident? You are no longer allowed behind the wheel. I've said this. It's done. You're done. You cannot get behind a car anymore. She just keeps getting hit by cars.
You're right. And maybe the only thing I could think of is why it made his force field at that moment and projected himself. Because that car, you're right, Rob, it hit. The impact was damn.
As Phoebe is, you know, comforting Jason in his time of need being shot, you know, we are led to believe now that this whole entire alternate reality is Jason. Jason wants to provide and give all of this to her and also has the mindset to take a bullet for her. Jason is winning today. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
And his hair is growing back enough for you that it's not in between anymore? Is it like enough?
It's a little.
Is it?
It's a little bit, yeah.
Phoebe tries to sense Piper, but sneezes, accidentally revealing their hiding place to the demons. I feel like they've hidden dumpsters a few times, Paige and Phoebe.
Well, they've hung out in dumpsters, yes, for sure. I mean, I think of the Siren episode when, you know, Piper landed in the dumpster.
Charm dumpsters in their basement, reoccurring. She tries again, and the demons begin to attack the dumpster and realize that Piper is scared. Phoebe tries to sense Piper, but sneezes, accidentally revealing their hiding place to the demons. She tries again as the demons begin to attack the dumpster and realizes that Piper is scared. Oh, she's sensing Piper's scared. Somehow. In an alternative reality. Paige and Phoebe figure that if they combine their desire to find her, the alternate realities would take them to her. Gith enters Piper's world, planning on getting to Piper before the sisters do. He confronts Piper, just as Phoebe and Paige appear. Phoebe was able to knock him to his feet. Paige attempts to call for the Athame, but can't. Piper explains there is no magic here. After a brief fight, Phoebe realizes that Piper's SUV is leaking gasoline. and that she's gotten into another car accident. They flee as the SUV explodes, immobilizing Giff. Wyatt in Piper's arms, the sisters emerge in Giff's lair. Phoebe worries about Jason, but Paige suggests he wasn't the real Jason. They notice Chris and calls for Leo to heal Wyatt and Chris. Thank God Paige looks over and goes, oh, Chris is here. Because they could have just totally been like, bye. And Phoebe taking on that demon. Oh my God. She, even though she's in like a skirt, she goes down on the ground, spins, and takes him down. I love her martial arts.
Did a little Melina round kick.
Yes!
a little floor, a sweep kick. I love it. Yeah, she definitely kicked ass in the heels. I would be terrified getting kicked with a heel. I just imagine it just sticking into my eye or something. But yeah, she definitely held her own in this one for sure. I was like, I'm probably overthinking this, but, you know, given that Jason wasn't real, I'm actually surprised that Wyatt was also real in this alternate reality being, you know, taken out, because I don't remember Piper holding Wyatt when her reality was activated, but yes. I don't think that Gith also took Wyatt and put him in, because then we would also get his desires too. But, I mean, it does explain, you know, the baby being sick still and all that jazz. But, yeah, semantics, I'm just kind of overthinking it, because I'm like, what if they've been harboring a alternate reality Wyatt this whole time for the rest of the series?
I think that's why it confuses me, because Wyatt was real, but Jason wasn't. See, I mean, you could say, just as for the writers, maybe they figured then that would mean that if the real Wyatt was home, he would have been home by himself for hours, like, sick. But still, in the context of the show, it is strange, yeah, because she wasn't with Wyatt.
So back at the manor, Piper puts Wyatt to sleep, and Leo informs her that his fever has gone down. They discuss Chris's action, and Piper tells Leo that Chris did well. Okay, yeah, let's give him praise when it's been his fault that this entire episode even exists. Who is Chris to be teaching anybody a lesson and working with a demon to do it? That is the weirdest thing. But we'll find out next week if this really keeps them on their path to figuring out about Wyatt, because this was ridiculous. Chris has no right to overstep the way he did in this episode. This is dumb.
And gets away with it.
And almost died. Yeah, and gets away with it. Piper explains that she will one day have the normal life that she wants, and before leaving, she asks Leo to heal her hand. Chris walks in and tells Leo he's ready for his meeting with the elders. Leo realizes what Chris was up to and gives him the Valkyrie's pendant, telling him to take it before he changes his mind. So Leo, an elder, is okay with Chris getting away with murder. Check that box. Piper thanks Chris for trying to warn them about the demon and says that he should have listened. I can't believe they are so gullible with this. Chris says as long as they've learned something, it's cool.
They almost died. That's the whole thing. Like, even Leo knows that they almost died, basically. So, you know, his plan didn't really work, Chris, because if it wasn't for the charmed ones, they would have been dead.
Phoebe goes to see Jason at his office, and Jason reveals that he has something for her. As he begins to explain, she interrupts, saying that she doesn't want that, and she has everything that she wants from him, and they both kiss, ending the episode of My Three Witches.
No wrap-up for Paige. We don't see her again. We don't know if the man is dead, if that was real.
Well, I can only assume that she doesn't have her job at the old folks' home anymore, and because she has no man, who cares what she's doing, right?
Honestly, yeah, that's what it comes down to. That's true. If she doesn't have a man to wrap up her storyline with.
What did you think of this rewatch? Did it change anything for you watching it with a critical eye? Or was this one of your favorites or not so favorites to begin with?
I never really disliked this episode, but I never really cared for it too much. Although for season 6, it progressed the story a little more with the whole thing with Chris, and I'm glad the Valkyrie pendant came up, because I remember back in the day going, no one's going to bring up this whole thing with Leo and blah, blah, blah. So I do like it. Not one of my favorite Charmed episodes, but definitely not torture by any means to watch. Not that Charmed could ever be torture, but, you know, it's like never, I enjoyed it.
This episode necessarily doesn't stick out too much to me. It is a very action-packed one. I don't dislike it for really any reason, but as far as the progress, it just seems that this is sort of a challenge of the week sort of thing. So this one's an okay watch for me. I will say, though, that this is the first episode of season 6 where we actually dealt with a main antagonist that was a demon. We've never had demons up until now.
Crazy! Isn't that crazy? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is pretty crazy. Also, I just want to point out that the location of where the old folks' home is and when they were performing the magic trick, that is also a very familiar location. It's the same set that was used in My Three Blondes when the Stillman sisters killed that vacuum salesman.
Just a few episodes ago. And they don't even expect... Yeah. No one's going to rewatch this series. No one's going to notice these things.
And Ryan, we have to go through the subtitle of this episode. I know this is very important to you, so we have to find out if we get your approval. This episode promo title is called Fantasies in the Flesh. What do you think of their subtitled tagline?
Why, Rob? Why? For any charmies out there who don't know, we've been discussing the last few episodes that the WB, and then later on it went into the CW the last season, but the WB promos are all about basically sex and undressing and hot and everything. So this is Fantasies in the Flesh. Does this anything about this sound like Fantasies in the Flesh? Excuse me. But the only thing I'll give the WB is that the male models were there. There you go. Thank you, WB. You got me so hyped up for this episode.
All right. It is that time to discuss the men of the hour. It's time for Hot Man Mita. It's raining men. Let's do our demon of the week. It is Desmond Askew. He is playing Gith in this episode. Does Gith make your Hot Man Mita?
While his name rhymes with girth, or I don't even know if it does, but they sound familiar, I'm going to say no.
So the blonde 90s, Sum 42, Blink 182, Sum 41, like the 90s grungy hair is not doing it for you.
Unless you're Spike, I'm not feeling it currently.
I'm going to pass on him too. However, the accent does it for me, so you almost were on there. All right, so how about Blake? So Blake is played by Sam Vance, and he was our limo driver in the alternate reality. Does he make your top 10 list?
Blake, I really didn't give him a good look over, but did not take my attention, so Blake, I'm sorry, no.
So the man in the uniform is a no. I'm going to pass on him too. How about our zest for life, our young at heart, old magician, Art Frankel? Does Art make your top 10 list? He could have bank. He did just have a heart attack. I mean, you would think he'd be hot in this situation, right?
Well, then you'd have to fight Karen for her husband's fortune, but...
That is very true.
Although he did have a rabbit, and I'm very partial to rabbits, no, this sophisticated, as I always say, gentleman did not make my Hot Man Meter, Rob.
I'm going to pass on the old magician as well. How about David Backus? So he plays this deranged fan, the one who pulls out the gun. I know you like it rough, Ryan, so come on. This guy is going to make your Hot Man Meter, right?
You know,
he's thinking about it.
No, I'm trying to picture him as well. But no, even if he was rough, like you say, there's so many men this season. No. This man does not go on the meter.
I'm going to pass on him too. But we did get a nice fan. He's the one that helped save the marriage. This is played by Ken Weller. If you remember his look, what do you think about this gentleman?
Sweet. I'm glad that he was thanking Phoebe for his marriage being saved, but no, I'm glad that he's happily taken.
Okay. I'm going to pass on him as well. So we're still 0-0. Now it's time for our male models. We have John Fleming, our first model through the door, the red briefs, the one who can't dance for shit. Does this gentleman make your hot man meter?
Yes. And he is going. I'm going to put him on number 7 on my meter. I remember him from Dante's Cove. He was always shirtless. I think he played a sexually exploring character, so that's always fun too.
I am going to put him on my list also, ooh, but not very high. Not very high. He's going over the perp that was arrested by Daryl in the premiere episode of the season.
Oh.
So he is going to be my number 7 out of 8.
Oh, so we have him on the same number.
So far, yes, definitely. Now we have our long-haired model. This is the one that was able to speak some lines, actually, in the episode. This is played by Alex Esternell. He was the leopard print dancer. Does this gentleman make your top 10 list?
I am not stealing your man, Rob, so I'm giving him all to you. Mister, I got credit because my name's in the thing because I spoke. Poor John Fleming.
I know, right? Yeah, this man is definitely making my list, and he's going a little bit higher than our first model. So I am putting him under Daryl, but over Steve Montana. So he is going to be my number 5 out of 8 so far. That is our hot man meter of the week. Everyone, if you are keeping up with your own list, make sure to update this week's. At the end of the season, I will be asking for those who participated to send me your top 10 men, as well as one hot female and one adorable person, male or female. And at the end, I will be collecting all of them and putting together one charming hot man meter of season 6. All right, Ryan, your favorite part of the show, MVP. All right, do you happen to have an MVP this week? Remember, you don't have to pick one if nobody stood out to you this week.
You know, I will say no one stood out to me, so I guess no MVP. If I had to pick an MVP move, I would just say Phoebe's, like you said, drop down, roundhouse, Mortal Kombat move. I love that, but nobody stood out besides Chris getting away with murder. I guess he could be an MVP, but...
Yeah, I didn't really pick an MVP this week. No MVP stood out, but I will say that the play of the week definitely goes to Chris. Even though I hate the fact that he was the one trying to teach people a lesson, the way that he handled himself with Leo is what stands out to me. And he was able to get away with this and convinced him not to turn him into the council. I was like, play of the week. You did good on that one, and also walked out with the last word. I love that.
Now, if Chris was wearing those leopard print bottoms while he did this, I feel like this would have sent you over the edge.
Probably. All in one episode? Probably.
I agree with you. It's Chris. I don't agree with it in the sense of what he got away with, and he was able to do this, but you got to give it up to him. He got away with it.
All right, well, that is going to do it for our episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. We want to thank everyone who listened this week. We appreciate you coming back each week to hear about the Charmed Ones. Next week on Charmed, Soul Survivor. Ryan, do you have any memory of this particular episode? I believe that I remember the plot, but heavy, heavy details, no. But I do think I remember what's going on here.
I think you remember correctly, because it's what you think, and I do remember this episode. I am curious, because I don't remember if I loved it, but I know what's the plot, the basic plot, yes.
Well, the plan is to return for another episode next week, so tune in for Season 6, Episode 7, Soul Survivor, next week. Again, thank you all for listening. Enjoy the rest of your wonderful Sunday, or whenever you are listening to this. We are signing off. Goodbye, Charmies.
Bye, Charmies.
Sunday, when one one sister gets a little too naughty.
I can't find her anywhere. I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse.
The price is her soul.
I am 20, I'm 30.
32.
32.
40.
100 for all three.
All new Charmed Soul Sister.